be unto you mercy and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning I should like to direct your attention to a verse from the Gospel which was read just a few minutes ago. The words of our Lord, which St. John records in John chapter 12, the 23rd verse. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So far, the word of our Lord. This ends in Christ Jesus. The cross is a contradiction. We wear it proudly, but it was an instrument of execution. To die on the cross was to die in deepest disgrace. Romans convicted of capital offenses were spared death on a cross. This was reserved for slaves and for non-citizens. The cross is a stone of stumbling. Man by nature doesn't want to admit his sinfulness. He refuses to recognize that his transgressions deserve both temporal and eternal punishment. And when man is confronted with the reality of his sin and forced to recognize himself as a transgressor, he seeks to save himself, to work out his own salvation. But the cross is also an instrument of glory. That's what our Savior said. As the hour of his crucifixion drew near, glory, as it gave him the opportunity to show his love for men, glory as we worship him as our crucified and risen Lord. We can never fully appreciate the servant role that our Lord assumed in suffering and dying for us, for we never experienced the glory of the Godhead that he emptied himself of in assuming human flesh and blood. From eternity he existed as very God of very God, of one substance with the Father. He left that existence to assume our flesh and to humble himself in service, so that in our stead he might teach the law, which as a result of the fall we could not teach. And then he humbled himself to die on the cross, so that in his body he might suffer in our stead the agony of death. God is love. The second person of the Godhead was glorified by showing that love in assuming our flesh. We praise and honor those who sacrificed themselves for their fellow men, who wrote that simply through wide publicity. Men are glorified in what they do for others, and certainly by assuming the servant role, our Lord was glorified. But he is also glorified by our response, the worship we give him, because he suffered and died for us and for all men, because he willingly assumed that servant role. At the time of our text, he was glorified by the Greeks who sought an audience with him. They were converts, proselytes of the gate, who had come to accept Yahweh as their God, and who now sought to know the Messiah whom he had promised. Jesus saw them as one of the first fruits of his ministry, as the salvation he was about to gain would be preached to men of all nations. For God was clearly not only a God of the Jews, his chosen people, but a God of all nations. They wanted to see Jesus. He was glorified as they saw him and heard his claim as the Messiah of Israel. And Philip and Andrew were glorified in their servant role as they brought these men to Jesus. Our Lord continues to be glorified by our response and by our worship. That worship is meant to be a monologue in which we listen to the account of God's salvation, but it is to be a dialogue as in response we worship and glorify Him. And we are to do that corporately. We need the support of our brothers and sisters in the faith. It is not enough to worship Him in private devotion, though of course that also is expected of us. We are also to worship Him publicly. We are to confess Him so that all the world may sing His praises as we pay tribute to Him who paid for our sins and for the sins of all men. Those who forsake the regular assembling of themselves together for public worship are not glorified, not glorifying our Lord as He deserves to be glorified. We also glorify our Lord by directing others to Him, as Philip and Andrew directed the Greek to Jesus. Lent has its mission for us, as much as Epiphany and the other seasons of the church year. Indeed, this account of St. John's Gospel calls us to glorify God by pointing men of all nations to our Lord as the Savior and Redeemer of the world. The Greeks of our text were discriminated against, in spite of their having accepted Yahweh and made the God of Israel their own God. They had come to worship at the feast, but they did not have the same access to the temple as the men of Israel had. Hence it was with some timidity that they sought an interview with Jesus. They hesitated to approach Him directly. They first spoke to Philip, whom they probably had known from Bethsaida in Galilee. And because of the unusual nature of this request, Philip approached Andrew before going to Jesus. John doesn't tell us how Jesus responded to the request that Philip and Andrew presented to Him. But can you imagine Jesus declining this request? These men had been born Gentiles. They had now accepted the God of the Jews. Now they were to see Him revealed in the person of His Son, that very God incarnate. So in these Greeks who wanted to see Jesus, we see our call to glorify our Lord by proclaiming Him among all nations and all people. The hour has come. The hour is now to glorify Him, first by meditating on His servant role in emptying Himself, assuming our place, suffering and dying for us. To glorify Him also by accepting in faith His very body and blood, which He gives us in this sacrament this morning, and then to glorify Him by proclaiming that salvation to men and women of all nations. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds with Christ Jesus. Amen.